In the name of Jesus, amen. So it's Mother's Day, and we want to honor our mothers. It's also Lola Grunwald's celebration of her high school graduation. Is that exciting? Yes, it is. Because then you get to go on and do things you want to do, right? Well, isn't that not true? You know, you get in high school, you got this set agenda. But when you get off and you get on your own, you have a little bit wider berth, don't you? You get to choose some things on your own. And that can be a lot more fun as far as your education goes. So for the sermon, we're going to focus down on Proverbs chapter 31. It's King Lemuel who gives us what he was taught by his mother, and thus then the Holy Spirit inspiring this to be also a sacred scripture. We don't know who this King Lemuel is. There are some suggestions in history. Some have suggested it's only a pseudonym for one of the righteous kings of Judea. Jews will say Solomon. More important than who he is what King Lemuel relates to us, what Proverbs 31 says. So, you know, how do we discern what makes a woman praiseworthy? And an example to follow. Who are the influencers that guide women these days? What role models are put before you? What values do they hold? Whether you're a man or a woman, looking at your role models and who you're influenced by and what they're influencing you to, of course, is an important subject. Who's molding this? Yeah, I look at Time Women of the Year. And there's quite a difference from for instance, one woman who's honored for her admirable work of conservation and protecting wildlife to another woman who's honored for taking the life of the unborn. Wow, that's quite different ends of the spectrum. One woman might be heralded for her mind. Another woman might be sought after because she is extreme, debased, and lowly as far as her social media account. What would God have you value? God gives you a better example than what we have around you in the faithful witness of King Lemuel's mother. And again, because we don't know exactly who wrote it, we don't know exactly when, but Proverbs 31 really can't be any earlier than 2,500 years ago, maybe even as much closer to 3,000 if it was Solomon. But the simple wisdom it contains is timeless and exceeds what we will often hear in our own day. So the title of today's sermon is A Woman of Excellence. This is God's calling to you, all the women of the congregation, and to you, Lola, especially today as we focus on you. What kind of woman will you be growing into? Because there's a lot of different routes you could go. But really, there's only two paths that are set before you. You can either be a woman of God, or you can be a woman of the world. You can be a woman of righteousness or unrighteousness. You can be a woman of faith and faithfulness, or a woman that goes her own way. The way forward today in the sermon, I want to look at... we're going to break it down the way that Proverbs 31 is broken down. So we'll look real quickly at those first nine verses, which is a mother's exhortation. And then we're going to look at verses 10 to the end of the chapter, and that's a poem of the excellent one. Before we do that, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the myriad of gifts that you bestow upon us. All good gifts come from heaven above, and so we thank you, Lord, for the gift of our mothers. Lord, we especially thank you for the gift of Lola, a wonderful daughter to her parents, granddaughter, wonderful sibling, and a child of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would grow her and nurture her and make her into the picture of that wonderful woman of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you have Proverbs 31 open, don't read it with me, but just look at verses 1 and 2. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, "What, O my son? And what, O son of my womb? And what, O son of my vow?" So you have this literary buildup, right? It's serious and it's solemn as far as the message goes. That's a what, right? It's sort of like she said, "Listen, right? Listen, son of my vows." Well, we're not told what kind of vows she made. We can think of other people like Hannah who made vows to the Lord. Remember in Samuel, Hannah was not able to have a child. She prayed to the Lord. She was weeping. That was the desire of her heart. And she says, "Lord, if you give me a son, that son will be dedicated to you." And this is what happened. He became the prophet Samuel. So King Lemuel's mother is making a vow too to the Lord. We don't know all of it, but it seems like what she says here to her son, her royal son, is part of that vow, bringing her child up in the way of wisdom instead of the way of foolishness. Let's read verse 3 together. "Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings." Now, strength to women, I think there's a better way to translate that. And here's why I say that. Because there's a parallel that we shouldn't miss. In verse 3 where it says strength, that's actually the same word in Hebrew as in verse 10, excellent. You know, an excellent wife who can find. And so for the English, it would be better if we translated those with the same word. Excellence, or strength as it's translated earlier, has the, in different contexts, can mean power, strength, armies. It can even mean skill. It can mean noble character. So I think excellence is really a good catchword for all of that. "He is to me." What did his mother expect out of this king? Because Proverbs overall is wisdom written to the prince, to the royal son, and from him then to all of us. "He is to be an excellent king, to have that excellent wife." By the way, we see that same parable, parallel in the book of Ruth. Remember when we went through Ruth? It said that Boaz was a man of excellence. Right? He's this bachelor who is, while wealthy and has that excellence as far as his wealth, is also one who is kindly towards others. And then Ruth is known as this woman of excellence, and that's shown in what she has done with her commitment to Naomi, her mother-in-law, her faithfulness, her then turning to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be her God, both a man and a woman of excellence. And now we have that parallel within Proverbs 31 as well. And so Mama says, don't give your excellence, don't give your strength and your noble character to women. That is, don't lose it. Don't give it away. Don't lose it. Because you're chasing wine and women. You go on then, and let's just jump into verse 10. And that's where we start the poem. The poem you only see really in Hebrew, but let's read verse 10 together. an excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. So, verse 10 and to the end is an acrostic poem, so that each verse and each half verse begins with the same letter. So you're going basically, if this were English, A to Z. And that's what the Hebrew does. More important is that one of the things that we see in Proverbs 31 then is that we have these three kinds of women. We have the godly mother of Lemuel. We have a broad group of women, the harem, if you would, those that the king or the would, you know, before he's king, the prince would chase after, and the excellent wife. And the excellent wife is also described as an excellent mother, and before she's an excellent wife and an excellent mother, she's an excellent woman. Right? This isn't something that she just pops into reality. It's something that she has grown into. So much so. So excellent is she that her husband is known by. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I like the way one pastor puts it, that he's known as Mrs. So-and-so's husband. Because she is an excellent woman. So Lola, be that excellent woman. Well, pastor, this is about a wife. Again, before she was a wife, before she was a mother, she was growing into being an excellent woman. So what kind of wife do you strive to be? Those of you who are wives. Because you shouldn't quit, right? You shouldn't say, I got the ring on, I've been married for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, it's old hat. It's not like we should stop and say, there's no improvement to be made, there's no growth to be had, whether I'm a wife or a husband. But what kind of wife do you strive to be? What woman do you seek for your wife, for those of you who are single guys? What characteristics make a godly and noble woman? Well, what I'm going to do is just tick through here real quickly and look at her excellence. What is the excellence of this woman? Well, the excellence is her virtues, right? Let's just note six of them pretty quickly in the text. So look at verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12, and why don't you go ahead and read that with me. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Right? She is trustworthy. You know, how encouraging and how beautiful of a thing it is in marriage when each one can look at the other and trust. Which means you can rely on that person. Again, Lola, I don't know, why am I picking on you so much? But I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Yeah, you're not a wife. But trustworthiness starts now. It doesn't start when you get married. Trustworthiness is a mark of excellence in virtue. How about the next one? Well, just follow along. Look at verse 13 with me. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. And of course, you know, you just go through. What do you see? That part of her virtue is also that she is industrious. She is a hard worker. And then going on again, we have verse 20. Let's read verse 20 again. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. That she is a woman of compassion. You see, as we're going through here, we're seeing the beauty of this woman. And know what? Unless I missed it, because I hate it when I miss things, but I don't think I missed it. There's no description of her beauty. There's no description of how gorgeous she might be. Because we all know, and we've all met people, whether man or woman, who are very handsome or very gorgeous on the outside, and it's like, very ugly on the inside. Don't be that person. You're not that person. Don't be that person. Don't ever grow into that being that person, but grow in that inner beauty. And part of that is compassion, that you care for other people. And you do so wisely as well. You do so under truth, but you have that kindness and compassion. How about verse 25? Let's read it. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. Strength and dignity. How can she smile at the future? Because she does have strength and dignity. We can get wrapped up, me too, by the way. We can get wrapped up in so many fears. Can I make it? Can I accomplish what I want to accomplish? Can I be what I want to be? We get wrapped up in so many fears. We look at the news. What about the future? What about the economy? What about all these wars? Yada, yada, yada. But there's a strength and dignity that looks at the future and smiles. And that is not disassociated with the strength and dignity that comes through faith in God. Because He's the one that ultimately that gives us that kind of confidence for the future. Anyways, she has strength and dignity. In verse 26, it says it very clearly that she opens her mouth in wisdom. I mean, have any of you all ever opened your mouth and something other than wisdom came out? Yeah, I mean, I've done that. I know! It's surprising. No, not you, Pastor! Yes, me too. But where does God direct us? God directs us to let that which was in the heart through His Word, through His Spirit, come out through the lips. Words of wisdom. Sometimes it's just, we're just stupid. Right? Just stupid. And we got to choose what we say. Am I going to let stupidity come out of my mouth, or am I going to let wisdom come out? And let's read verse 30 together. I love verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. She shall be praised, yeah. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. Again, we've all seen those people, a handsome young man or a beautiful woman, and it's not beauty on the inside. Empty suit, so to speak. An empty suit. Gorgeous. But it's not filled with what it needs to be filled with. A woman who fears the Lord, who trusts in God. So, Lola, consider, no, seriously now, consider these virtues. Don't let them pass from your memory. But be prayerful about them. Even tonight, get on your knees, pray to your Lord. Consider the kind of woman you're growing to be. And hopefully, you're always growing in one way or another. Trustworthy, industrious, compassionate, strength and dignity, wisdom, and one who fears the Lord. What happens if you take these virtues seriously? Well, someone might feel inadequate. Has anybody in here ever had a sense of inadequacy? Right? Oh, maybe it's about your motherhood. I wish I would have been a better mother. Wish I would have done this or that. But all of us, one time or another, have felt inadequate to our position or to our task. Maybe someone will look at that and feel defeated or throw up their hands and say it's impossible, or better, a better response is earnestly desiring this. Lola, what is God's desire for you? What is God's will for your life? Well, it includes these excellent virtues. But say no to inadequacy, right? Say no to those, especially if they dog you. Because these virtues are not a pass-fail, right? These are virtues in which you, again, grow into them. And, you know, Scripture gives us the ideal for humanity. Right? The law of God is never less, right? It's the ideal. That moral law is the ideal. And then we know, also, with that ideal is the reality of what we know about ourselves. And the greater reality of those things we don't even yet know about ourselves. So we know there's always going to be, to some degree, some disconnect between the ideal and the reality. And yet Christ is that ideal who has fulfilled the reality. He is the reality that fulfills the ideal, rather. Yeah, he's the trustworthy one, right? God promised of old to send you a redeemer, and that is what Jesus did in time. He fulfilled the promise for you. He became your redeemer. Jesus is the one who was industrious. He labored tirelessly. He was exhausted. On one hand, he was loved, and on the other hand, he was greatly hated, but he continued on nonetheless for the work of your salvation. You didn't save yourself. You can't save yourself. You're not such a good person as if you could earn heaven. Jesus was the one who was compassionate because he was loving and caring for sinners, for the outcast, for the poor and the needy. He was the one that had strength and dignity. You know, here, Matthew chapter 27. This is, you know, this last week of the life of Jesus. This is a period of trials. And it says, while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear now, or hear how many things they testify against you? And he didn't answer them with regard to even a single charge, so the governor was quite amazed. Why didn't Jesus answer? Why was he, like Isaiah says, silent like a lamb going to the slaughter? Well, one, he didn't come to defend himself. Right? In the sense he didn't come to try to get out of his work as Redeemer. If Jesus got out of his work, all of us would be damned. I need you to understand that, because that's sort of the bottom line to the spiritual life. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. You couldn't and can't save yourself. Some of you may not understand that yet. Jesus couldn't get out of it because he had you in sight. But there's another thing there too. Jesus not responding to his enemies there in the trial, I think that's all part of his dignity as well. That he's not going to descend in begging or in self-defense because he knows it doesn't matter. They are just out to get him. They hate him. And he will not lower himself before them. Jesus is wisdom. He has the message from heaven, and he is the message from heaven. Oh, Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus. He was with God, and he was God. Word, logos, God himself, and also reason, the rational principle upon which the world was founded, is Jesus. Fear the Lord. That's Jesus. Always respecting his heavenly Father in word and deed. So think of this. Think of these virtues in a Trinitarian fashion. That Jesus lived these out for you, Lola. Keeping the law where Lola has failed, and everybody else, by the way. Giving you his righteousness by faith. The Holy Spirit then works these virtues in you, because the Holy Spirit is operative in Lola. Lola is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in her as He's working in you. And the Father wills these virtues for you, that you might be adorned with beauty. And when reality doesn't meet the ideal, your Almighty Father is not going to turn into your Almighty enemy. That He who loves you now will always love you as much as He does. That He loved you in eternity past, before you did anything right or before you did anything wrong, and He loves you in the present when you do right and wrong. Right? So under His love, excel, grow, strive, grow in being a woman of excellence, full of faith and full of virtue.